A huge shout out of thanks to our major sponsor, Pertec. If you have Pertec on your team, they will never let you down. Visit Pertec at pertec.com.au. And for all your travel needs, make sure you visit our great friends at Tripadeal, tripadeal.com.au.
Welcome, team. A podcast today with a difference. Stephen Butler, welcome and thank you for your time. But when I say difference, I've never reviewed a product on my show.
Oh, glad I'm your first, mate.
You're my first. Now, there's some famous YouTubers that do product reveals and stuff. There's one named Marquez, I think that's how you say his name, Brownlee. Now, he's got like 17.7 million views, subscribers the last time I looked. There's a nice masterclass he does actually on creating content and stuff and how he started. And he reviews products for a living. I've never done one. But here I am. The other thing I've never done on this show is worn a hat in the studio. So
the Catch Pro.
The camera just picked that up. Catch Pro is the product we're going to reveal. But I don't mind. What do you think of the hat? Because these lights, sometimes it glares off my bald head.
Man, well, actually, it suits you.
Do you like it?
Oh, actually, yeah, it's a really good hat.
Okay, so it might be my new look. I've never worn a hat in the studio, but here we go. We are going to review. The reason I wanted to do this, and I love your passion for it, your vision for it. I'm definitely not one of those channels that review products for a living. But I want to do this one because I actually totally believe in it because – just let me share this with you. The reason for this podcast is to help other people, in particular coaches, trainers, teachers, athletes. And then there's another community around the business and the leadership culture style of episodes. But a lot of listeners are coaches, trainers, teachers. So if there's a product I can review that's going to help coaches, trainers, teachers, it's yours. And I don't know if you listen to the show, but in particular, like there was one I did with Nathan Cleary where we talked about fundamentals and we talked about this moment in the grand final when there's a passage of play that Penrith eventually score a try in the corner where every pass, every catch, perfect catch that led to a perfect pass, that led to a perfect catch. And eventually it gets to their centre, Isaac Tonga, who had to catch pass really quickly under pressure for Brian Toto to score. And Nathan and I talked about that, and he talked about Isaac wasn't a natural catch passer as a kid. It took practice, it took effort, it took detail, it took repetition after repetition. Now, the product we're going to go to helps that catch, right? So in this podcast, obviously we're not just going to do an ad for Catch Pro, but I want to hear about how you developed it, where it came from, the idea and whatever. But I just wanted to say I totally believe in it. So any coaches out there listening, where can they find it? Just send us straight there, and then I want to start getting to know you and your history. But send us straight to Catch Pro.
So where can you find it?
Yeah.
Answering that question, we've got the website, which is www.catchprobands.com.au. You'll find us on social medias as well.
Yep.
Catch Pro Bands, Instagram, TikToker.
Gotcha. We need to get your
Facebook,
TikTok game up, which I believe you don't do. Someone else.
I've got no idea, mate, to be honest. Yeah.
But so we share the same passion in fundamentals, right? So I've used the product. So I'm never, ever going to sit on this show and throw a product that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
So I've used it. So this year I was with the Indigenous All-Stars team. So in that team, you're talking Cody Walker, Michael Mitchell, Nico Hunt, like gun players, right?
The best hands in the game.
So I bring out the Catch Pro Bands. Now, some of them who value fundamentals were like, wow, this is cool. Like, who come up with this? I do remember there was one person in the background that, oh, what's this under eight stuff, you know? I heard one player say it. So I just totally ignore that stuff. Like I do not entertain negativity at all.
Yeah.
In fact, I was more excited about the super elite blokes like Latrell saying, oh, how good's this, you know? But then we used them. It was basically a trial. Like I hadn't really used it on those types of players before. And anyway, cutting the story short for the listeners out there, we were just doing basic catch pass drills. Now we put the bands on and every catch was perfect. Now it's not like I was telling them something different. They've always been told early catch, best catch. That's what they've always been told. Get your hands in the right position, catch the ball early. And they understand all this, obviously. You're not coaching under eights at this stage. They understand the value in an early catch. Mm. But you put the bands on and every catch was perfect. We took the bands off and we did a slightly different drill but basically the same skill. All of a sudden there were some catches up here, down here, out in front, one hand on the chest. Like all of a sudden the coaches that were looking at this detail were like, the head coach of that team, Ronald Griffiths, he comes up to me and Matty Bowen, one of the greatest, great bloke and great player. Like Matty Bowen actually grabbed him, put him on and he wanted to use him. They actually come to me and said, that was amazing that when we had the bands on, every catch was perfect and you took the bands off and not every catch was perfect. So basically what I'm saying to the listeners, the reason I believe in it is in particular those one coaching junior teams, repetition, repetition, repetition of that perfect catch. So I totally believe in it, mate, but I want to know where it come from and your passion for it.
Yep.
Tell me a bit about that because you grew up playing fairly elite level junior rugby league. For the listeners that don't know you, I mean there's an Oztag community that definitely know you. You've captained Australia as an Oztag player.
Yep.
Is it true you designed this with a mate of yours who was also a former captain of the Oztag team before you were the captain? Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you tell us your version. I've told you what I kind of know. You tell me your version of how this came, and I want you to include how you grew up, what you've learned, who influenced your thinking to get to this level. Because now, again, I need to throw it to you, but I just keep talking because I just keep thinking stuff. Now, I know this for a fact. The Super League, because at the time I didn't know I was going to be promoting it on a podcast. It was just like friends of mine in England, genuine friends. Yeah. The Leeds coach, mate, you need to use these. So I know for a fact Leeds Rhinos, he sent me photos using them. Willie Peters at Hull KR, who just played in the Challenge Cup final.
Yep.
I know he's using them because he sent me photos.
Yeah.
Derek Beaumont, the owner of Lee, I left some with him when I caught up with him in Lee. I don't know that Adrian Lamb used them, but Lee just won the Challenge Cup final.
Yeah.
But I do know Adrian Lamb values fundamentals because I watched him coach the Aussie team. Wigan, Matt Pete at Wigan. I know he's got some because I'm at Wigan with him one day and we're doing some stuff and I said, hey, mate, you need to try these. You should have been paying me, by the way. Anyway, but you can pay for this.
Yeah, no worries, mate.
Anyway, but I know for a fact that there's teams in the English Super League using them. I know they've gone pretty big in France. I know Adam Innes in France is using them a lot, developing the French junior systems and elite systems pathways. I know there's teams out here using them because I definitely use them.
Yeah.
A lot of junior teams. I've heard rugby union are going hard at the moment. I saw some stuff on your socials in New Zealand.
Yep.
So this is a product that started with you and a mate that's now in England, France, New Zealand, America, I saw.
Yeah, there was a university that jumped on board.
America and all across Australia and all sports. So I feel I'm talking to someone who's, when I talk about you should be paying me, I might ask you for a job one day because this product's going global because it's not just – rugby league, there's rugby union, there's NFL, there's AFL. There's netball, there's goalkeeping, there's
cricket.
Yeah. Mate, there's so many sports I know that are using these now. And I think I'm talking to a potential squillionaire, but anyway.
I don't know about that.
Let me know where it comes from.
Now, so I'll go right back. So when I was coming through, I went to I was brought up at between Villawood and Wayland, and played a lot of park footy, played in the park, with the kids. But I didn't have really good coaching in rugby league when I played footy. Coming through probably to about 14, I didn't get coached too well. I then went to Westfields when I was 15. I went to Westfield Sports High in year 10.
Yeah.
And I remember turning up the first skill session I did at Westfield, I was that far behind. The catch pass.
Really?
Like the line running, the catch pass, just the talk, my general game knowledge, I was so far behind. I was this little kid that, you know, little housing commission kid that had decent footwork and, you know, a bit of speed and those types of things. You know, you get some good hand-eye coordination stuff playing in the street, but I wasn't actually coached exactly the right way, you know, on how to do things. And I remember being that far behind at Westfields my first day. It's so clear to me, right?
Really? Who was the coach, do you remember?
Yeah, there was a couple of coaches there at the time. You had Andy Patmore, who's now in charge of the women's NRLW at the Parramatta Eels.
Yeah.
Great coach, great man.
Yeah.
There was Don Marnie. He wasn't a known rugby league coach. He was actually a maths teacher at our school, but just a great mentor, great man, you know, that we really looked up to at the time.
Yeah.
You know, these types of guys that really like helped us, you know, along the way. But yeah, I just remember getting to Westfields and the first day, first week, like for the first month, I was that far behind. I felt out of my depth. And I put that back to not getting taught the fundamentals coming through as a kid.
Yeah, right.
And so that was the first part.
Yeah.
How this eventuated just through a lot of coaching and playing coming through the grades, and then especially the Oztag scene. I spent a lot of time in that game, 25 years, you know, at the various levels. A big thing in Oztag was how it actually started was the tagging, the defending, because a lot of people tag with one hand. They get lazy and they start to tag with one hand. So a mate of mine, Steve Van Gamet, like the co-founder, we often spoke about this sort of stuff when we coach, because we coach and play. There was the tagging with one hand. So like every coach in Oztag would know what I'm talking about when they're coaching or playing.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about tag with two hands, tag with two hands, tag with two hands. It's like when you catch a ball, you don't catch a ball with one hand, do you? Like you catch it with two, you give yourself a better chance. So then we created this, a couple of prototypes that look nothing like they do now, but it was just about getting your hands working together in D, right?
Right.
I found it's not just your hands. When your hands are working together, your feet.
Yeah.
Your footwork becomes better, which you know, H.
100%, mate.
Footwork's everything, you know, base. Getting yourself in the right position to make a tackle or make a tag or, you know, receive a line out.
Yeah.
All these types of things. It was actually started more around defense.
Right.
So then after we started to look at it and use it, then it was, and I know like the best part about tag and these sorts of sports is you're throwing the footy around.
Yeah.
So then we kept saying the same thing, get up, hands up, early catch. Like I play, you know, like men's and stuff now, and there's men's that I still play with. They're catching the ball in their chest.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can lose an opportunity if you let the ball come to your chest, right?
Well, let's go back to that. Penrith try, we just talked about that, Penrith try in the grand final. If one of those catches is on the chest, one, the try doesn't happen. Because once you watch the whole play unfold and see the difference between Isaac Tungo getting whacked or catching passing in time, if a split second's wasted there and another split second there and another split second there, he gets tackled.
Yep.
That try doesn't happen. So for listeners who aren't really rugby league people, understand that when we say this is fundamental, but it's also the most important thing. So that's why I think you're a potential squillionaire.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's why I love it, what you're doing.
Yeah.
Fundamentals for me are everything. They're priceless. And by putting this little gadget, you're still saying the same cues about early catch, best catch, but it's almost like, if I see anyone wearing them, like because now I see junior teams everywhere, right? I saw my own kids' teams this week. It's grand final week and they got catch pros on in their first 10 minutes of their session, right? So I go, if I see anyone in them, I go, wow, those kids are caring about fundamentals, which is really cool. But I also go, that coach cares about fundamentals, which is even cooler.
Yeah.
Because we all know if there's a coach that's teaching fundamentals to kids, it's going to help them for a long, long time. So, yeah, that's really cool, mate. I love the story, and I know you're pretty humble and you talk yourself down there, but I wouldn't mind going like off topic of the product and just go a little bit about leadership, because it doesn't matter what you're leading, right? Like in your world, in the Oztag world, you're the Australian captain. You know,
I think I was only named captain because the actual captain was, he didn't come to training that day.
See, once again, you talk yourself down. But there are listeners of this podcast, if they've got past me talking about rugby league and catching, and even though, sorry, it's not just rugby league, but if they've got past that, there's a lot of people that are into that leadership space, that coaching space. What do you think your characteristics that you value as a leader? So think about, even not yourself, think about the best leaders you've ever worked for. Could be business, could be sport, but what do you value in leadership? And then what do you think you bring to a team as a captain? I want to know from you. I've got a feeling what you would bring, but what do you think?
So as far as leadership goes, I think the best leaders actually get led. Like there's that saying, there goes the people, I must follow them as I'm their leader, right? Mm. And I don't know who said that, but I read it there somewhere once. But it's true. Like I think the best leaders, H, is those that they don't tell people what to do. It's actually you let them be themselves, and you join in and support. You know, that's what I've found. And I think that's the same. It's any coaches out there, you got to let people express themselves, because everyone's different, right? Everyone's raised different. Everyone has different skill levels. So you've got to let people try and express themselves, and then just literally try and support them and guide them through. If they're going off track or they're not doing it right, be really patient. I think patience is a big thing too.
Well, there's a key word you said there is support. Mm. So clearly we're on the same page there. The best leaders build other people up. Superstars build themselves up.
Yeah.
Leaders build up other people. I've just got from you just in a short conversation that you haven't built yourself up once.
Nah,
like you're all about like building up other people, and you've just said it there. One of the key to leaders is supporting other people, mm. building them up. So on the other side of that, one thing that is important, in particularly in your type of position, like that ball player position, is building relationships, which you're a genius in other areas of your life and business and stuff. So is that what you brought as a person on a footy team as well, is those relationships that are important, because the most connected team wins. Cool. And you, in your sport, doesn't matter what sport, by the way, the most connected team wins. So there's people that might not even know what Oztag is, but there is also a very large community of it, mm. and there's tournaments going on everywhere. There was a World Cup recently in Ireland. The most connected team wins. Did you see that as a responsibility to connect a team?
Oh, like that's my if I could say my biggest strength in anything, like you just said, if life, business, sport was actually that part. It wasn't even on the field; it was off the field, at training, after the game, before the game. That camaraderie, that's why I play sport, and yeah, like it's just invaluable. Like, the teams, I'll tell you, I've played, I'll go back to Oztag and I'll refer to Oztag, sorry. I played in a tournament years ago now in the men's opens, and we were stacked. We had a really good team. Superstars right across the board. But it was funny, we bummed out in the quarterfinal. And it was very unexpected. But you look back and no one wanted to work hard for each other. Like, no one wanted to do the little things, you know. Like, we just sort of, everyone was trying to play for themselves. And then I've played in a side that, talent-wise, not even close, but everyone played their role. We got everyone to training. Everyone bought in. Like, every night we went to dinner, everyone was there. Like those little things. And then we went on a good run. Like we won 3 nationals in a row. We won like 5 state cups or something. Like this team was just, yeah. Like, and people scratch their heads when we beat them because they were stacked and we weren't, you know. But
well, yeah. That's when I say, doesn't matter what sport. So the people listening, there's all sorts of sports, people listening, different sports and business. It doesn't matter what sport. That's not a little thing that you mentioned. In fact, lately I've been speaking to some businesses, right, and some of them are huge businesses. We come down to a constantly referring to topics that pop up in these speaking engagements or sometimes they're ongoing kind of follow-ups with these business, right? Communication pops up all the time. Connection pops up all the time. Little things would change. I don't call them little things. I actually call them NLTs, and we'll do a whole series of work and education and videos and whatever and chat and whatever. But basically NLTs stands for not little things.
Yeah, right.
Because they're massive things. So you just said little things there that won you a World Cup tournament or whatever, right? But it doesn't matter what business is going on. Everybody knows connection is important. Everybody knows communication is important.
Yeah.
But you have to invest time in it.
Yeah.
And you have to invest effort into it. You have to invest in your people. You can't just say that it's important. So communication as well, talk to me about that on the footy field. Like how important is it to communicate well? And what have you taken out of learning that on the footy field now in your business life?
So my business life, my actual job that I my day-to-day, I'm a state sales manager.
Yeah.
So I've got 10 sales reps under me.
Yeah.
So I deal with that, right? You're dealing with problems every day. You know, you've got to encourage, you know, you've got to motivate.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got like all my team are all completely different. We've got such a diverse team.
Yeah.
So I've got to get creative and I've got to adapt. I've got to be really adaptable to the different personalities. So yeah, look, a big thing on communication is exactly that. Hey, it's like I feel the best way to combat anything is preparation. Like I've got to really be prepared and take time. Yeah, I've got to take the time, really take the time to listen. So I don't dictate or I don't tell everyone how to run their days, how to run their, you know, their weeks, their months. I do the exact opposite. Like I ask everyone to, again, express themselves because everyone has a different flavour, you know, and then I can just support. I just sit back. Look, I kind of refer to it like with bowling. You got the bumper bowling. You know, when they start to head towards the gutter.
10-pin bowling, yeah.
10-pin bowling. When they start to head towards the gutter, you just bump them back into the middle, you know. Like that's sort of.
So you're the bumper.
I'm the bumper, yeah.
Or what about that thing that and you roll it down and you steer it.
So that's your coach. Like
good analogy.
A coaching. I've got 2 kids myself and that's the same, you know. They're going to make their own decisions and they're going to have to, right? So you got to let them.
Yeah.
And then when they're heading towards the gutter, you just bump them back to the middle. And
well, do you know what? Yeah. That's what your product's doing.
Yeah.
Well, put those red ones on your hand for me. Give us a look at this. So for the people listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, you can't see this, but he's basically putting something on his left wrist and now he's putting it on his right wrist and he's going to put his hands in a position to catch a ball. They're bumpers at the 10-pin bowling, mate. They're not letting your hands go too far.
They're not, that's right.
They're keeping them exactly where you want them. Yeah. And I see there's 3 different ones there. There's a...
Well, this is the progression. So this is the middle one. There's a bit of give. I'll start from the start. So you got the development band, which is a bit of extra width.
So that allows a little bit more movement.
A bit more movement, but it's also ideal for your AFL. So you can hand pass and, you know, release. Yeah, so there's a bit of there's a bit of movement there. The progression band, also good for AFL, rugby, all the multi-sports, right? It's got a little less give than the development band.
Yeah.
But you're still, your hands are a little bit tighter. You start to progress. That's why it's called the progression band.
Genius. And what do we got here?
This is my favourite one, right? So the elite band. Oh, well.
Because you are elite.
No, no. So the elite band, it's tight. So your wrists and your hands have got to work together. There's not much give there. So there's that saying, well, any sport really, what is it, dirty fingers, clean palms. You should be catching with your fingers.
Yeah.
Because your fingers and wrists work together that way. Everything, keep it in your fingers. With this,
I can
encourages
see your
that.
Technique there. I'd love to be in a studio where we can watch you catch a pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of thumb, a lot of wrist, a lot of fingers.
Yeah. So, so look, that's how it is. But the sports, you know, AFL, it's massive catching away from your body. You spend most of your time trying to catch away from a defender.
Yeah.
Rugby union, exactly the same. You know, you got your line outs, but then it encourages that good follow through. They love, you know, rugby love that follow through.
Well, you told me you were with the Rugby Sevens Australian coach recently just playing around with this stuff. They loved it, right?
Oh, well, I met with John Manenti, the Australian Rugby Sevens coach. What a great guy, you know.
I find rugby union, rugby sevens, I find them very, very detailed on their catch and pass.
Oh, they just look, once they put the elite bands on, we're in Moore Park there, their indoor training centre, and a couple of the boys, they chucked the bands on and they were just doing simple catch pass. But I was watching their facial reactions and you could see, you know, when someone, like, they were actually taken back by it a bit, they were like, how good's this? Like, they were, and it just encouraged that follow through. They had no choice but to catch with their fingers and fire through to the target, and you know, there was that great follow through, and I give a heap to John Manenti and the boys. So hopefully they chucked them around through the week. So
that must be pretty cool to know that you and a mate has come up with a product originally to tag someone, and now you've got, it's a global sport.
Yeah,
the sevens tournament. Before Absolutely. You know it, the Fijians will be using them, the English will be using them.
Yeah.
Well, already there's French, there's New Zealand, so. It must be pretty cool to think your passion for coaching and fundamentals has kind of come out in a bit of a product. But so let's go to your coaching then. And is there any like coaches you look up to or have idolized or followed? Or I know there's certain influences in you, like even straight away, Westfield Sports School straight away influenced you from day one. And there's some good people that have helped you along the way. So I'm going to throw that to you. Is there any coaches that you really look up to in this space? Yeah. And then I'm going to throw a few names at you, and I just want you to get – I want your first impression that comes to mind. So any coaches?
Yeah, so yourself, H.
I don't. Go to someone else. Go to someone else. But I appreciate
it. Your passion, mate, your passion and the way you look at things. You know, you're a detailed guy. I love that.
Yeah.
Part of
next,
you.
Next, right. next.
If I go back, Westfields was more about my peers. Like, a lot of the guys that I played with, a couple of, you know, some fellas above me, even below me, you know, at school, I learned a lot. Like I said, I came in to Westfields in year 10. So, you know, there was guys like Stephen Hales, who's currently the assistant coach at Manly, Sea Eagles, you know, his skill and his brain. Dean Byrne, another good mate of mine, played first grade for the Dragons. Those two guys I learned so much off as far as my footy went coming through.
Yeah.
Because I played with them and just to watch what they do and how easy it was.
Yeah.
It frustrated me, but, you know, the Westfields coaching Steve Speechley. He coached at Parramatta lower grades and the guy could have been anything, but he just, in the end, he loves his family and, you know, coaching takes a lot of your time. To do it right, you've got to really commit. Steve Speech, learned a lot about footy and life, you know, from someone like that. Steve Van Gamet, who I have the Catch Pro bands with, just a great guy, good mentor. Yeah. Scotty Gandy.
Yeah.
You know, he coached us in tag and stuff like that, but he's got a footy background, but very successful in life.
Yeah.
He's probably another guy that I'd look up to. I'm sure I'm missing someone.
I'm sure, but they've had direct influences on your life. What about from afar? What coaches do you admire, current coaches or former coaches at the top level or across the world? Like, is there any?
Craig Bellamy.
What makes you like him?
You know, Just some of the stories I've heard around Craig Bellamy and how he, you know, everyone, from what I hear, he's a great guy, a good leader of men, but at the same time, he could be a knockabout, but at the same time, he holds everyone accountable.
Yeah.
And you just see anyone that goes to Melbourne, like, you either buy in or
definitely
or move on, you know, and just some of the things. I remember listening to an interview with Cameron Smith, and they said, "What's the secret?
Yeah,
what's Bellamy's? You know, what's Bellamy's secret?" And he said, "Oh, three things. This is how simple it was, right?" He said, "You got to be able to, if you come here, you got to be able to defend.
Yeah,
you got to be as fit as you possibly can.
Yeah,
and you got to play your role. Like, how simple is that?
Yeah.
If you're someone that goes there, you can really narrow your focus and So Craig Bellamy, definitely. Wayne Bennett, I like, you know, I hear yourself, you know, talk very highly of Wayne Bennett. Obviously, he's done everything in the game.
Yeah.
Just some of the things, you know, I guess he's a people person, you know, like, that's a big deal for me. Coaches, any other coaches?
I'll tell you, I had your wife on this show, which we haven't even gone there yet. We mentioned Wayne Bennett. She met Wayne with me once and Wayne made her cry. We talked about that in the episode.
That, yeah.
So if you haven't listened to that, Hayley Butler was another episode, an elite, you know, Australian representative, international athlete, now coaching, doing great things. You two are very similar. I probably should go there actually about playing the supporting role of an elite athlete. We should go there. Another Westfields athlete. What's she doing with you?
You know what?
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people actually say that, mate. I'm a good salesman.
No, she's found a good one in you, brother. Now, where were we? Talking about coaches. I tell you the coaches you'd love. Mate, it's almost your love of fundamentals. It's like we share the same and it's influences right through. Like you talk about Brian Smith, you would have loved.
Mm.
Attention to detail. In fact, if Brian knew these products existed, he would have been the first coach to buy them, I promise you.
Yeah.
And then coming under him was guys like Daniel Anderson, lover of fundamentals. He would give little coaching cues that he definitely picked up from other sports, even like cricket, wicket-keeping, that style of stuff. Daniel was big on fundamentals. And then people he influenced like Trent Robinson now, like Trent Robinson at the Roosters, who's had that kind of influence. Like there'd be – you know, and you think about, like, when we talk about these basic fundamentals in the 60s, like the Dragons, of like who then influenced people, who then influenced Rod Reddy, who influenced me, like all these great coaches, they're going to be the same fundamentals in another 100 years. Like that absolutely. Fundamental is there.
Yeah.
So this product goes forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But back on that, like we just mentioned your wife, Hayley.
Mm.
So she's probably influenced you from a very technical sport, like sprinting and sprint hurdling. The slightest, the tiniest of details has such an effect.
And discipline, preparation and all that sort of stuff. So she's just phenomenal.
She would have influenced you to the point. She would be watching this episode and you've mentioned this bloke, that bloke, that bloke. And you forgot to mention your own wife. So she's probably thinking. Yeah.
Sorry.
Come on, mate. But, yeah, like seriously, like another topic altogether, playing the supporting role of an elite level athlete because they're highly strung come competition time. I don't know what your wife was like at home. Like I knew what she was like in preparation and training and stuff. The ultimate professional, your wife.
Absolutely.
Holy.
Yeah.
Seriously, like we went there in an episode, like you're talking 6 months after having yours and her first child. She's on the track qualifying for a Commonwealth Games. Like her level of work ethic and discipline that now she's passing on to other people in her can't beat speed business and coaching of her own is next level. But they're highly strung. Like everyone come competition time, it gets pretty funny. Like even at home with your own kids and they're playing a big game, like you know, you know.
Oh, I see.
Like I remember working with like Denny Green was a classic fighter, boxer, world champion, you know, four-time world champion and close to fight time. You could almost schedule in his program when he was going to have a blue with his wife. You could almost schedule it, you know. We were in Biloxi once for a weigh-in, world title fight. His wife's just flown all the way from Perth to Biloxi, Mississippi, right, in America. And he tells me, go in there, tell her I don't want to talk to her. Get upstairs, she'll be waiting, go tell her I don't want to talk to her. I was like, mate, she just travelled the whole way to see you and support you. Like, because you've seen him after fights, the first person he thanks is her, Nina, great, and his kids and all that. Like, he's such a great family man.
Oh, he's
like,
a great
guy. He's a beauty, right? Yeah. But he's so highly strung. In particular, you're trying to make weight. There's a weigh-in. There's so much going on. And he's going into this press conference in the weigh-ins and he says, Hayden, go tell my wife I don't want to see her. So I had to go up and tippy-toe around and go, oh, Nina, just come over here, sit here. Like, we're running a bit late. He'll be up in a second. And they had their standard scheduled blue. That happens. And then he goes, wins his fight, and then best, you know, obviously thanks her straight away, first person. What's it like with Hayley? What was she like? Have you got any stories like that? Like, what was it like?
Yeah, look, Hayley, you know, it was funny. She at home, you never knew, like where she was at, because she just literally stuck to her day and she never changed a bit. But when we, you know, and it was pretty full on, our lifestyle was pretty full on. I had a full-time job. You know, we had kids, so my first child, then my second one came, and all the way through she kept competing and making teams. And so then to make an Australian team, you know, H, you know, you're traveling you're traveling around the country.
Yeah.
So we were in every state. There was one night there, she actually competed in Queensland, then competed in the same night. She competed in Queensland, ran a B qualifier, and then flew back to Sydney and wanted to do another B, so she competed on the same night in Sydney.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. So she competed. She was so – it's crazy, eh? And we had two kids at the time. And
two races in one day.
Two races, two different states, you know. And
yeah.
But, yeah, look, I could tell you, yeah, there is some stories on the track. Like when I've gone, Hayley would come out, she'd run a time that she wasn't happy with or
– ooh, I wouldn't want to be there after that.
So what? I never knew what to say. I'd come up and say, you okay? What do you think? You think I'm okay? So there was like, so later I actually asked her, I said, if you don't run too well, what do you want me to say? Like, how do I?
Oh, yeah. What was her answer?
How do I approach it? She just, I think it was just like, just don't say nothing.
Yeah.
Like she'll initiate it. You know what I mean? Like I'd just come there and like.
Hey, well, yeah, because that's new territory.
Tread on eggshells, yeah.
That's new territory for me, because now with kids, I mean, as a parent now, like kids are at a level and a fairly elite level with their sport where they're taking it a bit serious. And if they, let's say they feel they've had a bad game, it's new territory for me because I got to choose to be like, is there coach mode? Is there parent mode? Is there mate mode? Is there like, so only recently my son wasn't too happy with his own game, and you know there'd be a lot of parents I would imagine will go and tell their kid. Oh, and usually they, you know, with all respect, there's a lot of parents that are usually the first thing they're doing is blaming someone else.
Yeah.
My kid's a superstar or whatever. Like I would never do that.
Yeah,
I'd never piss in his pocket ever.
No, I'm honest. I'm honest with
kids. But what I do though, I leave him alone. Like I don't know if I'm doing the right thing because he might want me. I don't know. I should ask him like you asked your wife. I just leave him alone. I don't critique him. I don't try to coach him. I'm there as his support. I'm there as his dad. If he wants an arm around him, because I know an hour or two later or next day later, he'll come and ask me my opinion.
I was going to say that because the exact thing happened to me with my young bloke. Went at him after a game because he didn't have a go and, he could have done so much more and all those things, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you're asking, and this is when he was like 12, you're asking a 12-year-old to how many things you have to get right in a game of footy to have a really good game.
Yeah, when really at 12 you should be saying, did you have fun today, you know?
You know what I mean?
Hey, great, I love that early catch you did, you know?
I remember doing that, but now I don't say nothing. Because my son always, I know, I can feel it. I can actually feel it in the car. If it's just him and I in the car after the game, he'll, like, I wait for it. He'll say, how do you think I went?
Yeah.
But I won't say nothing until he said that. And then I'm honest. But I you know what? You know if you played a good game or a bad game. I don't have to tell him. Yeah. So I just try and, I've learned from, you know, some good people out there like yourself, these mentors, you know, same thing, you know. Like more recently, I've actually learned a lot from Steve Isdale. He's at the West Magpies. He's doing the Harry Matthews out there. He's so passionate, right?
Yeah.
He's so passionate about the game and about not even the game. It's more about helping and development. I talked to him a lot lately, and he's so passionate. You think, oh, like this guy, you know, he's so full on. But then if you really pull it back, he's just I've taken so much information from him, right?
Yeah.
Because he's got these two young boys, Alex and Isaac, that are young guns coming through, mate. Like, they're ones to watch, right?
Yeah.
So it's really, he's got to be on his game because these guys, it's such a rise and fall for them, you know what I mean? There's an expectation there for these kids. Yeah. So I'm learning, I'm learning from him as well,
you're,
you know?
You're on a bit of a coaching journey yourself, but it was interesting the same approach you took with your wife, parents could maybe take that approach with their kids when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of kids, mate. You know what they dread? The car ride.
Yeah.
They dread it, mate.
I've seen
it. This is probably a whole new episode on, actually probably the best way to do it would be to ask the athletes and ask the players themselves because so I'm used to working in a professional environment where there's a game, you let them get over it, you let them mentally get over it, physically get over it, then you might review it 2 days later and it's a pretty thorough review, detailed review, bit of video, bit of chat, bit of presentation from all different coaches and the areas they need to focus on. Then there's a level of, the great ones are students of the game anyway. The great ones are studying their game anyway and reviewing it themselves. But there's a process, there's a very detailed process and a deliberate process of letting them get over it, whether it's a win, let them enjoy the win. Whether it's a loss, let them feel it, let them, like, you'll review a couple of days later. But you think about it. Now we're chatting. How many parents just get in the car and just do this full, thorough review? Like, there's elite level players that couldn't handle that.
Yep.
Which is why we deliberately wait
a
couple of days to.
Yep.
Well, sometimes coaches might knock it over the next day, but there's a lot of kids out there that are dreading the car ride home. Yeah. And dreading the car ride to the game, you know.
Well, and this is a big thing also how the catch pro bans came about, right? A lot of people, coaches, parents, they just expect their kid to go out and perform. They expect them to win or they expect them just to be perfect at everything.
And do the perfect play they saw on TV the night before.
Like, it's I probably refer it to like a construction site, right? If I told you, H, who's never built in your life, Hayden, go build that house.
Yeah.
And you'd, like, where do you start? Yeah. And then I come back and say, you didn't build it. Like, I'd expect, you know what I mean? Like, you can't.
You know what I'd probably do? Because I am a hopeless builder, right? I am hopeless. My family will tell you this too. I'm not too good on the tools. But I would also, first thing I would think of, well, I need to build the foundation somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's where you're about to get to.
Yeah, I was heading there. That's because,
But then I'd have to work out how to build the foundation. I'd have to learn how. I'd have to have people teach me. I'd have to have the resources to do it, which now I look at this, they're a resource. And then I'd have to really want to do it. Like, I'd have to want to put the work in. So when I think about this now and that, like, we know the early catch is important.
Yeah.
You've got the resources now to help you do it. Like, I would need certain resources to build the house, right? Certain tools, certain products, certain supplies. Then I'd have to really want to do it. And it comes down to the coaches now and the parents now to have to really want to just nail in on just getting those fundamentals right.
Exactly.
I'm sorry I cut you off because I just pictured me.
Mate, that's how you do things. Yeah, it's good.
When you said go and build a house, the first thing, like, I actually thought, what if I had to build a house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I think
keep
that,
going, mate.
No, look, it's jump in any time. Like when you, yeah.
Yeah.
We're just bouncing backwards and forwards. But the big thing I find, I refer to a couple of sports here. So if it's rugby league, I see there's an overlap. There's an overlap out wide. And I see parents and I hear it every week. Like, why didn't they pass the ball? Like, we had a chance. We had an overlap. But instead of maybe those kids, every kid in that back line, there might be five kids, they don't know how to catch and pass properly.
Yeah.
Especially under pressure.
Yeah.
When you've got, you know, a couple hundred parents screaming at them, you know, you've got
And the loudest one is the parent of that one on the wing who wants to see their player get the ball. Or the play's coming from there and they want to see that one on the left-hand side get the ball.
But that's how it is, H.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But everyone's got – but that's the thing. This is where this came from, was you've got to pull that right back, and you can't expect them to just build the house. Like, you can't expect them – the house is the try in the corner, right?
Yeah.
You can't expect them to score that try in the corner if we haven't showed them exactly how to catch or how to pass properly.
Yeah.
Where the target is, then – when you're catching, you know, where to present the target, get that right catch, be able to run, pass, you've got a defender coming. Look, all those things these kids have got to think about, right?
Yeah.
But it's any level. Like, you know, you're a trainer at the elite level and all you did was practice fundamentals, like all week, all year.
Yeah.
For years and years, right?
Yeah.
And that was a big thing. If it's AFL, you know, how can you expect a kid to take the mark?
Yeah. Oh, I've got a good one for you. Mm. How about this? We just keep cutting each other off.
It's good, mate.
Well, I cut you off.
Yeah, I normally do it worse.
Here's one for you. So, as you remember, like, you're a Para fan, weren't you?
No,
sorry.
Tigers.
Oh, sorry, you're a Tigers.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that, but I'm a Tigers man.
Your wife was training.
Haley was
training at the Eels.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, as you remember, Jared.
I'm a Para Junior.
Jared, you're Para Junior. As you remember, Jared Hayne. Superstar,
yeah.
Made the sacrifice to give up his contract, follow a dream. His dream was NFL, right? So I wasn't working for him at the time, but obviously I had a lot of years.
Didn't you go over there with him?
Yeah. So this is where I'm getting to this story. So I went with him on his first journey when he made the call, the sacrifice, let's get on a plane, let's get there. In the meantime, as we were preparing to leave, the media hype was crazy. I don't know if you remember.
Mate, I bought a Jared Hayne shirt. Yeah, I love it.
The hype, even before he left.
Yeah.
There was a whole section online. You go to dailytelegraph.com and it had, so there was rugby league, football, soccer, AFL, and then Jared Hayne. He had his own section, right? Like, it was huge news. And anyway, everyone wanted to catch him before he left, and he agreed to do this one story, and we're doing some training. And the photographer, I'll never forget it, my son was there doing burpees with him and everything. My son would have been, very young. Yeah. And I remember Jared doing catching and passing with him, teaching him catching and passing in the gym. So these memories are just coming back now. But the story I'm getting to, he did allow one photographer that day. Greg Porteous, one of the best photographers ever. Every time I see him, I say, hey, best in the business. He's a beauty and a great bloke, right? Greg came out and took this photo, and the picture on the back page was Jared catching a ball, but his hands in this certain picture, this one frame, weren't perfect because the NFL are really big on where your hands are with that catch, you know, because you got this ball spiraling. So Jared rings me. Mate, get on the phone of the photographer. He's got to remove that picture. Get it off, because that picture is there forever and it's going all around America right now, and every coach is looking at that picture going, those aren't the hands we want. Yeah, so Jared was like, remove it, delete it off the internet, get it off the website, get it off the news, get it off the back page, because he understands that was a first impression of someone somewhere in America was reading that and just going, no.
Wow.
Hasn't got that. And that's how much he cared about it, to the point that's I wish we had the orange ones. He needed that because they want them really close. So we need the elite. We need the elite.
Well, that's exactly right, mate.
How'd we get onto that? No, how'd we get on to talking about Jared?
Oh, it was a good story, mate.
Yeah. mate, what an achievement. Can you believe never played NFL
mate, he's a freak
in his life. So they reckon, I could be wrong here, but they reckon 10 million kids play high school football in America. 10 million. That's half of our country. 10 million people play high school football. Jared never played high school football. He played rugby league at Westfield, your school, a great school that's churned out all these athletes. He played rugby league, but never played NFL. There's just so much detail. So they reckon 10 million. Then I think it's something like, correct, there'll be someone's going to write a comment on YouTube. You don't know what you're talking about, but because I might have the stats wrong. But then it's something like 6% of those play college football.
Wow.
Wait for it. In college football, there's 100 in every squad. 1% of them play NFL. 10 million. Drop it down to 6%, drop it down to 1%, play NFL. Jared never played it in his life. Went over there, we jumped on a plane. He studied it like you wouldn't believe. He surrounded himself with good people, good resources, good people, good teachings. He really wanted to do it. Obviously, the evidence was there. The sacrifice was there. He left $1 million deal and he just tore it up, went.
Yeah.
No guarantee, no money, no nothing. The first thing he did, he went to the first thing he did was say, get rid of that photo with my hands out here. And he went to went to Target and bought a little NFL ball and went down the park practicing these catches. And his mate Ray was throwing him these balls and he was catching, like, I remember it clearly. But anyway, to then be starting on Monday night football, the opening round of the season at Levi Stadium in San Francisco, that was ridiculous. That was crazy.
Oh, I know. I watched it. I watched and every preseason game. We all bought the jerseys and stuff at home and it was just, it was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Number 38.
38, but the catch.
Oh, the catch is massive. Yeah. It goes right across all those sports, goalkeeping. I had a goalkeeping coach who does, I think he does the Institute, like the New South Wales Institute. He used them and loved them.
Yeah, right.
Like I said, when your hands are working together, or if they're together and you can't separate them, then the footwork comes into play. Same as slips catching, in cricket about catching. You can't get lazy and throw a hand out. Your footwork's got to go with your hands.
Yeah.
Rugby union, big deal. Those line out catches, but then that early catch, that follow through on the pass. AFL catching away from your body, they refer to the long arms and the short arms.
Yeah.
The hand passing. Catching below, behind, above, like all these things. Rugby league.
Yeah.
We spoke a lot about rugby league.
Yeah.
Oz tag, you got tagging two hands. Even yourself in league and union, these types of sports, defending.
Yeah.
You start with your hands together.
Yeah.
So all those sports it's relevant for. And, it's been exciting. It's been a good thing. Early in the piece, we didn't put too much work into it because we had our day jobs and stuff like that. And also I didn't want to just get the wrong people involved. I've really been patient with who we have involved with it and who we put a name to it, et cetera. It's good. It's we're in a good position. And like you mentioned, Adam Innes over in France.
Yeah.
So he's come on board now. He's in charge of the pathways to the French Rugby League national team.
Yeah.
We've got another guy, Frankie Burke in New Zealand.
Yeah.
He's associated with Silver Fern Sports.
Okay.
He coaches at Hamilton Girls High. They're a great rugby school for the girls coming through.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of Silver Ferns and that come out of there. So
good. And I believe you're looking for possibly some ambassadors. I've recently recorded with someone in here who is – perfect for this, which I'll give you his contacts after.
Yeah, appreciate that.
You should be looking at some of the players I've had on here because they also value it. Because you want people that believe in it and value it. So I think people, we keep going back to the product. We don't even need to. It sells itself. I want to go to – I'm going to throw a couple of names at you and you tell me what you think of them. And I'm going to mention – because I know you would have played with him as a junior – does great things in the game and for people, and talk about fundamentals and talk about encouraging kids to express themselves and the love of the game. He's come to mind because he used to go into my son's school. And I don't – this my son's school at the time, as a, in primary school, the school he was at, to be honest, the sport, the rugby league was maybe once a year if he was lucky. You know, when you grew up, you played every week. I reckon it was the school he was at the time.
Yeah.
Not as much. They obviously did in the playground, but not as much, you know. If it wasn't for Marco Mealy, oh, who instilled a love of rugby league into some of these kids that I now watch,
yeah,
on the Central Coast doing great things, and some of them going further in their careers. But he instilled a love of rugby league. Now, did you play with him as a junior?
I played Harold Matthews and SG Ball with Amir.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, let's just go. What first comes to mind? Because everyone loves the Ogre.
Well, Ogre, mate, he was the toughest player I've ever played with, against, whatever, right? Being affiliated with. Yeah.
Yeah.
A good guy. Like, he came in. I remember the first game we played against the Bulldogs. And he wasn't there at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Amir came into the team 2 or 3 weeks into the season. And I'll never forget, we were 17.
Yeah.
And I turned up to Belmore and I came into the sheds and there was this guy there with tats.
Yeah.
17-year-old. Yeah. This big man.
Yeah.
And I actually said, look, because he didn't come to training that week. Yeah. I was like, who's this bloke? Yeah. And someone, oh, it's a new guy. And he came out, and from that game right through, he just terrorised everyone. Yeah. He terrorised the competition. Actually, you know what? It was against Illawarra down at the Steelers. That was his first game, sorry. Yeah. Right. He came out and just terrorised the competition. Toughest guy I've ever – and I, because I was a little fella, I played a lot of hooker in Harold Matthews. They put me in there. Like, I was more – I got picked as a fullback, but I ended up playing hooker. And
yeah.
So I got to – yeah, pack in with O'Mealy.
With O'Mealy.
So I started a lot of fights, he finished.
Well, no, I just, because I was remembering, I knew where you'd played and I'm thinking same age. And,
yeah.
And yeah, he has instilled a love of footy in a lot of kids.
Yeah,
great guy. But I thought I'd just ask you your impression of him, because, mate, it would have only been a year or two later and he was playing State of Origin. Like he was playing.
He went straight from SG Ball to first grade. Like, I think. He played a Jersey Flag or whatever it was then. Like, he went straight from SG Ball to Jersey Flag and then apparently just brained that competition. They won the comp.
Yeah.
Like, North Sydney Bears won the comp that year. And then he just kicked straight on. Like, he went straight to first grade and then off he went, you know. And
okay.
So on his journey, yeah.
We've dropped his name.
Another guy similar is Brad Moran, really good mate of mine.
Yeah.
Tough as they come. Same thing.
Same thing.
Just a passionate guy, great guy. Clubman at the Bulldogs. He would have played with O'Mealy as well. I'd have to mention him in the same breath as O'Mealy because they're both very similar, you know.
Very similar.
Just tough guys, yeah.
Okay.
Good blokes.
Here's one for you. Because you mentioned Westfields a few times, I'm starting to think Westfield athletes, and I'm starting to think of multi-sports, because I'm a huge believer in multi-sports. Now, the guy I'm going to bring up, what an athlete. But I'm also bringing it up because you love the West Tigers. I bet you know who I'm thinking here. And I'm also bringing up one of the greatest grand final tries ever in 2005.
I was there, mate.
When the West Tigers won. You were there, were you?
It was one of the greatest days of my life.
Days of your life. Okay, Pat Richards.
Yeah, oh, big Patty, yeah. So he was in my year at school. He's a year younger than me, though, so I didn't play footy with him coming through, but I went to school with Paddy, lived near me, actually. I think my wife coaches his kids in the sprints.
Okay.
I'll tell you, last Wednesday I was down the park with my daughter.
Yeah.
Paddy was down there with his daughter and they were kicking. They were doing kicking practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
He can kick.
Oh, he could kick it. Well, I remember playing Oztag with him once at Wattlegrove at Liverpool and the ball went dead, so it's a dropout. He kicked it on the roof. So it went over the field and landed so he got a boot on him.
Mate, I think he's pretty famous in England. I'm pretty sure he kicked a field goal from like 50 metres out from near the sideline, like for Wigan. He's a legend in Wigan.
Yeah.
I visited Wigan just recently. Walking through the coaching office at Wigan, November last year, and there's Pat Richards on the walls. It's like going to the Roosters and seeing Brad Fittler on the wall, you know, like
going to Wyong and seeing you on the wall.
Pat Richards is a legend over there.
He's a good guy, mate. He's a great guy.
West Tigers fan. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I was there that day actually. Halsey, who's the assistant for Manly, we lived together at the time.
Yeah, right.
We had a unit at Toongabby, and it was a bit of a flea palace, but it was good time. Yeah, good, great time in my life actually. And we kicked on to we went to the 2005 grand final.
Yeah, right.
Mate, we were just drinking in the pub, and then we got tickets, members tickets. There so we were. Didn't plan to go there.
Yeah, right.
And then it turned out, look what I would have missed. You know, we're both Tigers fans, so yeah.
Should we talk about Tigers now or just leave that? Because a lot of people are negative about them, but I see everyone, it's a roller coaster, mate. Sport, it's not like people aren't trying there. And Benji Marshall, I know there's going to be a lot of pressure on him, but if he surrounds himself with good people, because as you know in anything, just surround yourself with good people and people that believe in you. And I know he's pretty big on fundamentals too. What do you see happening for your favourite team, and what do you think if I say the word Benji Marshall, what comes to your mind?
Yeah, look, I'll start with the Tigers. So you can't be 100% 100% of the time, right? Like it's not just footy, like in life. Like you can't always be up. You're going to, you know, like financially, you've got to, every now and then you've got to go backwards a bit, you know, and really bog down and, you know, save your money and to try and, to try and move forward. Tigers are at that exact spot now.
Yeah.
So they've made some decisions in the past. They haven't paid off, and now they're paying for it, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do? What do you do when you're struggling? You get tighter. So I think the Tigers just need to just tighten things up. Don't give too much information out, and try and work through it. They've got some unbelievable things going on in the pathways at the moment. They've got such this great – look, they won the Harold Matthews for the first time in the history of the club, West did, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I know Paul Sirin and Shannon Gallant, they're doing the pathways, one for Balmain, one for West. They're pulling from Group 6, great talent. They've got the West comp, unbelievable talent there too. Balmain, they're building that centre of excellence at Concord. They did that. So they're doing some really good things, right? They're almost mirroring what Panthers are doing. But I think if they stick to their guns and – look, this is just my opinion, right?
Well, you're talking as a real passionate fan, right? But I didn't intend to do this, but I need to pass your number on to Benji. No, seriously. Seriously, because – you straight went to pathways and you straight went to development of kids, and that's your space. That's what you love. You love coaching. So you love that. Yeah. You love that space that much. You've come up with a product, you know, so – and you love that club by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Oh, and they need good people, and you're a good person. And seriously, like, why aren't you aiming high? Why aren't you going and coaching? I know you probably got other work and other business, but, mate, there's something in you that comes out in this conversation. You should be involved in developing these kids. In particular, also, if people listen to the episode with your wife, her genuine passion for coaching, your genuine passion for coaching, mate, we're going to hang up from here and we're going to pass your number on. Seriously. Mate, everyone else at the moment, if I had asked anyone about the West Tigers right now, they would just slam them. And you've just gone very optimistic. But some very intelligent things you're saying there about it too. So,
it's going to pay off. What they're doing will pay off if they stick to it, right? And it's going to ebbs and flows, right? Like,
there's a lot of things you have to get right at that level to be at the top. And then there's the big challenge is to be able to do things like Ivan's done out there at Penrith or Robbo did at Roosters. Is to stay there.
Salary cap, yeah.
And people come. But also if you get the culture right and your values right and you live and get the right people, it's much more sustainable. And that's why like someone like those coaches we spoke about, there's so much behind the scenes to get it right where obviously the Tigers lost their way somewhere because they had that success but then they've had a period of not. So there's a lot of things they have to get right. which they are working towards and getting there. And
yeah, you can't.
We came on here to review a product. Yeah. Now we're reviewing you. I'm passing you
over. No, it's not that. Look, I find it with business, it's the same in my position, right?
Yeah.
There's a couple of things, H, that you spoke about. When you have success and you've got good people, well, then, you know, they tend to go get what they're worth, and you can't pay them what you need to, you know, so you lose good people, right?
Yeah.
And I do that with my sales team at the moment. It's the same. Like all the good ones, you can't always hang on to them, right?
Yeah.
So then I'm trying to do this in my business life is build a good culture so people don't want to leave, right?
That's what it is, mate.
Yeah.
Culture.
Mm.
Culture wins, but it also, like, if you get it right, you may never lose.
Yeah.
But it's constant. You have to keep investing in that. You can't just think, I got it right once and it'll be right the same next year. Like, yeah, it's, if you listen to the episode with Ivan, we touched on this and we talked about it. It's like gardening. It's like you always have to be gardening. Like,
yeah, the weeds are coming.
You always
through.
Have to believing that culture will win, but it's a constant work on.
Well, I'm a gardener by trade, mate.
Are you really?
Oh,
so,
yeah, mate. Yeah.
So it's a daily thing. It's daily. Jesus, a gardener by trade. What do you mean?
I wasn't a very good gardener.
You're a landscaper. From,
yeah, I did. Well,
where
I kind
of your apprenticeship.
I did me 3 years at Holroyd Council.
There you go.
Which you're from Greystone, so you'd know the boys. Dave-O, Greg Davidson was my boss.
My God, this conversation's gone in every direction. What a great bloke! And I only saw him at a function recently. He's one of the world famous umpires.
He is. I see him all the time.
In cricket.
Yeah, he's the best, mate. I love
Dave-O. Yeah. There's this vision of him where this streaker ran on the field of like an international game. I think it was an international game, and he like shoulder charges this streaker, and it became like all around the
and
world.
And he's 7 foot too.
Yeah, he's 7 foot tall. Yeah. It was worldwide news. Then there's this other one. I think it's something like he went to like say they were out, but then he realized they weren't, so he just adjusted. He went like that.
Well, he lives up near you, Dave-O. Yeah.
Well, I hadn't seen him for so long, but he was recently showing me. Mate, he had death threats. Death threats. Are you talking like some people, cricket is like their religion.
Absolutely.
It's everything.
Yeah.
So he's upset a lot of people here. And yeah. So
that
he
was a good crew.
He was your boss.
So he was my boss. And then I also, who I worked with, but like in the same crew, was Paul Madison. So Dean and Ryan Madison's dad. Yeah.
Okay.
Whack.
So
legend.
This podcast is all about. Is there any lessons you learn that you can pass on? What lesson from landscaping can you pass on to coaches?
Wow, good question.
I tell you who's big on this, Brad Fittler.
Good question.
He loves his gardening.
Mm.
And there's a lot of stuff in there.
Well, when you're talking, okay, if you're talking like if you're going to build a new garden, it's all about preparation. So don't rush your preparation because I'll give you an example, right? So if you're going to lay new turf, you need to be really, really fussy with how you lay your underlay, your turf underlay. Make sure it's flat, level it perfect because this is what happens. If you don't level it, right, well, there's a couple of things. If you don't have the right nutrients and stuff, the right fertilizers in that soil, but if you don't lay it and prepare it well, when you go to mow the lawn in years to come, it's going to be wavy. There's going to be divots. There's going to be ebbs and flows and pockets. So you're going to scalp your lawn or puddles are going to sit in the spots that are low. You know, does that make sense to you? So preparation. So you got to.
Why my backyard is how it is.
That's probably why, mate. You got to. It needs to be flat. So, yeah, that's probably the best way I could describe that. Another thing I'd say if you're planning on a garden, I was told this, if you want to work out what you want to plant, normally go for a drive in your area and see what's working because that's the climate that the plants need to grow in. Instead of, you know, you can go online and you can look at all these fancy gardens and they look great and you go, I want to plant that. But plants, they need certain climates, right? So that's the best way is just go for a drive around the area and see what's working, what's not. Because then those plants that you see are blooming, they love the climate you live in. Does that make sense?
Well, We'll finish there because this podcast is all about helping other people, and I love analogies like that. So what I got out of that straight away, because I'm thinking of the coaches, the teachers, the trainers out there, is what I got out of that is within the preparation is laying the foundations.
Yeah.
You take a shortcut, it's going to bite you on the ass somewhere.
Every time.
Somewhere it's going to bite you on the ass.
Yeah.
So that relates to sport,
yeah,
without a doubt. Well, it relates to anything.
Yeah.
Take a shortcut, but you learnt that from landscaping. That was pretty cool.
I worked at the council, so I learnt a lot of other things, mate.
Yeah, I bet.
How to bet.
Yeah,
how to drink.
Yeah. I bet. But also then your other analogy there around take a look around, see what's working. That's a bit the same in sport. Like you need to be constantly studying what's happening around the world, different teams.
New ways to do things, open mind.
You have to be a real – the best players are real students of their game.
Yep.
You have to be a real student of yours. And if you're planting plants in a landscaping world, you have to be a student of that, and you have to go observe and listen and look and learn, and which is why the people are the type of listeners that I have – on this show, mate. So thanks very much.
No, I appreciate it. H, I don't know how I did, but it's really difficult. It's actually harder than what it looks like. Make it look easy. Yeah, because there's so many things I wanted to say when I came, but then you end up off in different direction. It was great. I really enjoy it, but it was just as harder than what I thought. Yeah.
Mate, I don't think you need to say anything. Your product speaks for itself. So do you. So
nah, it's good. I appreciate the Catch Pro bands. Hopefully, they're good. They're a good tool, mate, to pull out of your kit bag.
Yeah,
you know, for a skill session. So
it's like turning up as a gardener. You turn up to work, you got your certain boots, your certain equipment, your certain tools, whatever. I don't know. I'm a hopeless gardener, but you've got certain things in your kit bag.
Yeah, that's right.
What you're telling me is doesn't matter what coach, what sport, whatever, you've got all these different things in your kit bag, but at least have Catch Pro bands.
Well, you need the Catch Pro bands because you do that. Well, our motto or our slogan is every play starts with a catch, which is true. So you get that right and the rest will be a little bit easier.
Awesome. Can I keep the hat?
It's yours.
Thank you, mate.
I don't want it after you put it in your head. No, Jack. Good on you.
Thanks, mate.